You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Hey, that announcement about MOPS, the last video announcement there, we have Mothers of Preschoolers, an incredible ministry here. We had 91 babies downstairs a week ago during MOPS. And so if any of you are here on Thursdays, you're like, maybe you're bored Thursday morning. I can tell you right now, every other week on Thursday mornings, you won't be bored if you help out with MOPS. Might want to come help with that. But our mission statement here at True North is know God, grow in God, and show God. And so we're in a series right now. We want to talk about this whole idea of showing God. We want to talk about how God wants to use us. In fact, our series we're starting today is called Like a Good Neighbor, True North is there. It's not State Farm, because God told us to be good neighbors a long time ago. State Farm stole it from the Bible. And so we're just taking the Bible. No, like a good neighbor, we're talking about how we can be people who show and tell Jesus to the world. How many of you guys remember show and tell in school? Anyone here remember show and tell? How many guys, five of you remember show and tell. Either your memory's really bad or you're like, I don't know if I want to raise my hand in church, okay? I had my two favorite subjects in school, classes were show and tell in elementary school and heads up, seven up. How many of you guys remember heads up, seven up? How many guys, don't lie in church. How many guys cheated at heads up, seven up? Like you found a way to get your eyes out there. Raise your hand high. That's some of us. The rest of you are probably lying or you never won. Sorry. I remember show and tell. My favorite year for show and tell was 1979. You might like, how do you know? Because I was 8 years old. And it was the year that my dad gets a call from the state police saying, Larry, there are hundreds of people on your property right now. And my dad goes, what? Well, we went out and there's a state farm and there's a state park right across from the river from my dad. My dad had a couple hundred acres out south of town in Tillamook, Oregon. And Tillamook County, just so you know, is the second best county in North America if you want to pick psychedelic mushrooms. Not that you're wondering, but with all the cow manure and the alder trees that have shade, those fungus like to grow. And there were hundreds of hippie buses and vans across the street from my dad's land with a stack of like the old Dittos, like the old Ditto, you know, it wasn't like the copies they have nowadays, you know, you have to put, the, you know, and stacks going to the Happy Farm is what it was called. And it was literally from LA to Highway 101, right outside across the river from my dad's property, and hippies would go to pick their mushrooms. And I remember I took one of those maps to school one day for show and tell. I also drove a tractor to school one day for show and tell. That was a unique day. My dad got the cab tractor with air conditioning in it, and I thought it was, you know, so I drove it to school. But I remember, you know, I remember my dad would, like, go up to the ask, why are you trespassing on my land? They said, well, this mind-altering, it's life-transforming, it's behavior-enhancing mushrooms. Well, I can tell you right now, this series is not about mushrooms. It's about the mind-altering, behavior-enhancing relationship with God that will transform neighborhoods, change cities, and transform cultures in the world. It's called Jesus. Amen. This series really is about show and tell, which some of us love that. We used to think, my boys still, like, what can I take this Friday for show and tell? Well, we're going to talk about this next month, 5-6 weeks, on how do we, and in fact, I want to launch this series with a verse in Acts 1:8, and if you've grown up with a Pentecostal background, you're like, oh, it's my favorite. Acts 1:8 says, hey, but you'll receive power. Say power. And a lot of people focus on that, but it says this, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And a witness is a spectator of an event or something. In other words, you'll be someone who shows and tells. You'll receive power to show and tell. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I want to unpack this real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, the next couple thoughts here, but I want to then pull in the context here. But you'll be my witnesses in four areas. And this is important. We have our core values in the wall, and value number four is we're a church for our city, we're a church for our state, and we're a church for global missions. That's why last month we talked about global missions. This month we're really talking about, hey, how do we transform our city that we live in? How do we show and tell? How do we make a difference? But there's, where will we be his witnesses? Why do we, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, not just so we have power, but power to be his witnesses, not to do witnessing, but to be. And where will we be his witnesses? In Jerusalem. That means we're his witness. We cross streets. It means we reach people the same as us. We cross streets. It means our neighborhoods. In all of Judea, in other words, Judea was the country or the state. Jerusalem was within. And so we cross bounds, state lines. And we go beyond our street. We go beyond our state. And also it says, and all Samaria. Samaria was across the tracks. Samaria was near Jerusalem, but it was a whole new world. It was cross-cultural. Jews didn't like Samaritans. That's why Jesus went to the woman at the well, and she was a Samaritan. But he crossed culturals. How many want to know that God's asked us to cross cultural boundaries and go to people different than us? Yeah. And we don't have to go across the world for that. Sometimes it's across the tracks from us. It's across the street from us. And then he says, and the ends of the earth. In other words, we cross seas. And I'm convinced we don't cross the sea if we don't see the cross. But when you see the cross of Jesus, you realize that we have to cross the seas and we have to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And so we're witnesses in Jerusalem across the street and across the Judea, our state, and across Samaria, the cross culture, and the ends of the earth. And so the next several weeks we're going to talk about this, but why are we as witnesses? Because we're called to reach the lost. There's some people far from God. Study the Bible and see what the Bible says about lost people. It'll wake us up. We're here to call, we're called to reach the least, the lost, or those that are far from Jesus. We're going to proclaim the least of these who need the grace. They need someone to show them they matter and they're the least of these. They need us to demonstrate the grace of God. And then we're called to reach those living next door. And that used to be easy. The challenge is this. Most of us, this is what happens. We work too much and we come home tired. We used to live life on the front porch. We could wave to our neighbors and sip lemonade through our dentures and wave at people and talk to people. But now, when we come home, we push a button. And we drive our cars into our heated garages. We push a button and it closes behind us. We go into our house, we cook our meal, and we eat our meal maybe when it's sunny, maybe not right now, but on the back deck where we don't have to interact with anybody else. It's hard to reach your neighbor when they don't know you. And you don't know them. So we're gonna talk about that. Are we called to reach our neighbor? Are we going to create a time in our life where we can proactively think about how to reach people living next door? We can talk about going overseas and doing mission trips, but you know something? We're called to live for Jesus right where we are. Be witnesses in Jerusalem on our street corner. But I want to show you the context of this verse because I think it's important. A lot of times we'll preach Acts 1:8, but we don't know the context of that verse. Jesus had risen from the dead. He showed himself to over 500 people alive at one time. He's interacted with his disciples. He's been alive for 40 days. And Acts chapter 1, he's still alive. He hasn't ascended into heaven yet. And he tells the Israelites, stay here till the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll receive power to be my witnesses. And he starts talking about all this stuff, the promise of the Father. And then he says this in verse 6. In verse 6, it says, the Israelites started asking questions, the disciples. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? See, they thought the Jewish people had been waiting for their Messiah for years. So when Jesus shows up, The disciples left everything to follow who they thought was the Messiah, and they thought that he was going to overcome the Roman government, set up his reign on earth. And they didn't understand the reign was a spiritual reign, not just a physical reign. And so they're like, you know, he's rose from the dead, so is he going to set up his reign? And they said, Lord, are you going to establish your kingdom here in Israel? And he said to them, listen to this, it's not for you to know the times or the dates. They wanted to know all this stuff. Are you going to do this, God? Are you going to establish? And he says, not for you to know all that. That God set up by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses. I want to talk today about this thought. It's not for us to know, it's the call to be. They wanted to know all the information. Are you going to establish the kingdom? Why? Because they wanted the Messiah here. They wanted the physical. This is the guy to point. He's going to reign the world. Everyone's going to see him. He goes, it's not for you to know all that stuff. It's a call for you to be my witnesses. Well, God, I'd be your witness if I knew this and I knew this and I knew that. Here's the thing. Every one of us in here is in a different plane spiritually. Some of us know God more. Some of us are brand new to God. Some of us are just kind of seeking. Maybe we're skeptics. We're on a different path. We're looking. We're in different places. And it's not the call to know all the answers. There's the call, be my witness. The call to be. In other words, I heard someone say once, be a witness for Christ and use words if you have to. In fact, how many of us know that sometimes it's not our words that turn people away from Jesus, it's our actions. Our actions speak so loud that some people can't hear what we say. And so how do we live our life? If we're going to start this series called Like a Good Neighbor, True North is there. I want to start by saying it's not for us to know the techniques of reaching our neighbor for Jesus and reaching the least of these for Jesus. It's the call first to be, not to know. We're not to know all the answers. There's two driving thoughts behind this message today. One is the call is not to know, but to be. We can't change the world if we haven't first been changed. Something has to be different in us. See, we teach what we know, we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know. See, a lot of people think knowledge is information. Friends, you can be informed and not transformed. You can know all about God and not know God. You can do a lot of things for God and not know God. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, people said, I cast out demons in your name, but I did this in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Never knew you. In other words, it's not information. We know all this stuff, but do we have, it's not the call to know, the call to be. So it's not the call to know, but the call to be. And number two, it's hard to be if we're not known. And I want to explain that. I truly believe life change happens in the context of relationships. Life change happens in the context of relationships. As a parent, I tell my kids all the time, show me your friends, I will show you your future. I have four daughters, and they are strong leaders. I have four daughters that I learned real quick. They own the playground. They would tell everyone else what to do. I have a son who we adopted, who doesn't own the playground. He follows on the playground. So like last week, Wednesday, my wife goes to pick my son up from kids' church, and my wife asks the kids' church director, how was it? Oh, it was a hard day. And she goes, was Fulton good? She looks at my wife and goes, well, it wasn't so much him, but he followed a couple other kids. And I'm like going, and so our prayer for our son is I got to help my son find the right people to hang around. He was hanging. No. But the thing is show me your friends, I'll show you your future, right? We all say that to our kids, but what about us? I don't think we'll fully be if we're not known, because I believe relationships shape who we are. The books we read, the people we hang out with. That's what changes us. Romans says it this way, since we are all, this is talking about the church, not the building, us, we're the church, the people. since we are all one body in Christ. We're many parts, but one body. We belong to each other. And each one needs all the others. What is that telling us? Now, we might think we can be a self-made man or a self-made woman, but the reality in the kingdom of God, God has put people around you so you can become whole as we work together. You could try to be Mr. Potato Head without the parts, but guess what? You're just a potato. But we're one body, many parts, but all of us together make up the part. If we find where our fit is, you know, and so it says one body, but we belong to each other. We in need each other. And so as we look at this series, the goal of True North Church, and we did a generosity initiative. We called it Church Pasadena, where we're a people of faith who live on mission, and we're going to build a place with more space. And on May 1st, we're going to have a groundbreaking on College Road for our new building. It's going to come out of the ground. We're going to build a new sanctuary. But the goal has never been to build a big building. The goal has always been to build big people. It's not the call to know, but to be. And I'm convinced if we grow bigger people, and you might like, oh, like strong muscles. I'm talking about growing people beyond muscles. But I'm talking about growing big people for Jesus. And I'm convinced if we become big people for Jesus, we're probably going to be really good neighbors. We're probably going to reach the lost around us. We're probably going to be. So I want to talk about what's it look like to be. Years ago, two psychologists came up with something, and a lot of counseling. In fact, we use it for our Living Free classes. We call it the Johari Window. Maybe you studied that. Anyone ever studied the Johari Window? It's ways you can look at relationships and figure out where you are. And I want to look at that today because I'm convinced that God has called us not just to know but to be. But God has called us to be known. And we won't fully be unless we're known. And I'm convinced that there's four quadrants on the Johari Window, and it points back to how will we at True North, how will we be people who are being before doing? We're human beings, not human doings. We're human beings, not human knowings. How do we be? I'm going to look at these four quadrants today, and the quadrant one is what we call the arena. The arena is the place that things I know and you know. And I'm on the platform, so some of you probably know more about me than I know about some of you. But some of you, I know things about you because we're in public and we see each other. And some of you know, oh, he's a dairy farmer's kid, and he grew up in Tillamook, Oregon, and he used to take mushroom maps to school for show and tell. You know I have 5 kids, and you know I'm married to a beautiful BMW, beautiful Mexican wife. It's the things I know and you know. And most of our spiritual life is lived in this arena. And I call it that. Jesus talked about religious people in the Bible living in the arena when he says this. In Matthew chapter 25, he says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. What's a phylactery? Well, I'm glad you asked. A phylactery, say that 10 times real fast. Phylactery, phylactery, phylactery. Never mind. A phylactery was a little box they'd wear on their forehead that they would put scriptures. How many want to know? God's saying everything they do is for people to see. They got scriptures strapped to their forehead, but they're not in their heart. So I don't want people who put the scriptures for the whole world to see that they're memorizing, but that hasn't transformed the inside of their life. And then he goes on and says, woe to the teacher of the law, the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of bones and you're dead and everything unclean. In other words, there's times that we live our life in the arena. And I wonder how many of us today in this room or online, that's as much as people know about you. There's something that happens. I don't know if it happens. I think it happens in 2022. I actually come to church typically on Sundays by myself. My wife comes a different time, or my wife's on College Road today, on another venue, and she'll bring the kids, or I might bring a kid with me. And so I don't have the same problem. But when I was a kid, when we went to church, we all hopped into the 1971 Chevy Impala with black vinyl seats. And we hopped in. Now, I grew up in a house, BS, before showers. We had a bathtub. You know, Tom, you grew up before showers. I mean, you believed in like bathing, but you didn't have a shower, right? And so, and we had a hot tub, oh, not a hot tub, excuse me, we had like a hot water heater that could fill the bathtub once, but the second time it filled the bathtub, the water wasn't all the way warm. Does anyone remember those days? You know, some of you look like, is he backwoods? I grew up in Tillamook, Oregon with mushrooms, come on. Do you have to ask that question? So you know, there's four of us, three boys and my dad, and I mean, it was a race to get in from the barn on Sunday. We had to work in the barn. We smelled, you don't work with cows and silage and cow manure without smelling like cows and sods and cow manure. And it's not really nice to your friends at church to show up smelling like the barn. So we would take a bath real quick, and the first one to the house got the clean water. The second one got the second clean water, and you can figure out the rest, right? And so you'd race, and then we got ready. My mom would have our clothes ironed, and we'd have breakfast, and we'd hop in the car. We're always late to church, not because we wanted to be, but because we're trying to get out of the, would you get out of the bath, Carl? I'm scrubbing. I got some, you know, it's my hands smell like such. And so we fought. We got in the car, and then my dad was ambidextrous. He could drive with one arm and hit us with the other. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. This was before the SUVs. You could sit all the way back. It's a Chevy car, black vinyl. And my dad, I mean, we'd be fighting and go, boys. And my dad, by the time we got to church, my dad was heated. And then my mom's going, Larry, we're on our way. Pam, I'm trying to discipline our boys. And we're like, I mean, as long as you're sitting like behind him or on the far side, you can get to the outside. But if you're in the middle seat, you're in trouble because the guy in the outside is not going to let the middle guy not get hit. And then we pull into the church. And my dad gets out of the car and they say, hey, Larry, how you doing? Bless God. Hallelujah. Never been a better day to be alive. Hallelujah. How you doing? Oh, bless. You ever seen someone have a bad day on the church parking lot? We live in the arena. My dad never once says, well, you know, it was pretty bad getting to church today. Kids fought the whole way. I let my emotions get to me. CPS probably should have been called, but I'm glad they didn't. Because we live in the arena. We don't typically like to let people in beyond that. Because we like put our Sunday smiles on and miracle the parking lot happens. Everyone has a good day. Jahari Window calls that the arena, where many of us live in the arena of life, and all people know is your Sunday smile. They don't know any beyond that. And I would propose to you, it's not the call to know, but the call to be. You got to be known. And then there's the next quadrant of the Jahari Window that says there's the next quadrant is what they call the mask. It's the things I know, but you don't know. It's the things I know, but you don't know. There are things about me you don't know. In Corinthians, it says we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. In fact, there's a quote I heard once that says, I'll always stay as sick as my secrets. I'll always stay as sick as my secrets. Now, here's the thing. You shouldn't come to church and say, I'm going to tell everyone my secrets. The Bible says not to cast your pearls before swine, but there are some people that need to know you beyond the arena. There are some people that need to know you when you take your mask off. You need to be known. There are some people that you need to drop your guard down and say, hey, this is going on. In fact, I, the other day, I'm riding with some of my friends, and I said, guys, I want to be vulnerable. I want to tell you about something I need help with. Would you pray with me about this? Because I know me, and they don't always know that side of me. But if we want to be calm, we have to take the mask off. So I know me, and other people know me a little deeper. And C.S. Lewis said, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. When you realize other people have weaknesses just like you do, That's why I love James. James knew about this when James says, therefore, confess your sins, your weaknesses, your bents, one to another in the prayer of faith. Prayer for each other may heal you, and the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In other words, we all need to play a place where we know someone enough to take our mask off. And if we live in the arena, our masks are never called off. We need someone to mask us. We need to have people close enough. And then there's the third quadrant, the blind spots. It's the things I don't know, but you know. How many of you guys have ever been in like a classroom or hanging out with a friend and they haven't had enough water? And as they're talking, they have this little white hanger that shows up on the side of their mouth. You know what I'm talking about? And as they're talking, it just like sticks and it goes up. And you don't know, anyone know what I'm talking about? Isn't that gross? I mean, I've always thought, like, could I manufacture that and like give it to my enemies? So when they talk, it's like, ha ha! We all need people who will tell us when we have a hanger. We all need someone that can tell us their blind spots. I remember when I was in my last job, I worked at the district office in Anchorage, and I was overseeing the renovation of a campground, Little Beaver Camp in Wasilla, and I was working late that night. I was working 13, 14-hour days. I remember I painted the guy's dorm and finished up at 2:30 in the morning one morning. I'm going back to the bunkhouse, and I'm tired, and my boss calls me, "How's it going, Mark?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm tired." And after three or four conversations, he calls me and he says, "Mark," he said, "every time I've talked to this somebody," he says, "oh, I'm doing okay, I'm tired. He says, "just because you're tired doesn't mean you don't lead." And I felt like, oh. Someone finally saw a blind spot that when I get tired, I get negative, I get whatever. He helped coach me in a blind spot. How many of you know we all have blind spots? But your blind spots, you can't see your blind spots, but other people can. The problem is sometimes, and I've seen this with our Living Free classes, other things, but the people that you have blind spots, you get close enough to someone starts to speak to your blind spot, and then you run because you really don't want someone to tell you you got blind spots. You really don't want someone to call you for your mask. So we love the arena. We don't like it but we need the masks to come off, which means that the intimacy and relationships have to, and then there needs to be people close enough. In fact, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful. In other words, you can trust the wounds of someone that says, you know, you got a hanger and you got to get rid of it. It's really unbecoming. But there's areas in our life that we need someone to speak into in those areas. We need people who can know us. We need people who can demask us. We need people who can help us with our blind spots. And number four, you know, we don't get here if we don't have people who know us. Because here's the deal. If you don't take your masks off and you don't have people speak into your blind spots, you will never get to quadrant four, which is where you have something called potential. Because what often keeps us from our potential is the things that what? The things I don't know and you don't know. How many believe that if we're creating the imago Dei, the image of the Almighty God, that there are things inside of us that no one's seen yet? But you probably won't have those things come out if you can't get past the stuff that keeps you from pushing, that keeps you pushing people away. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The Bible talks about we're one body and there's sinews and joints and ligaments. There's things that begin to help us grow into all that God has called us to be. But we can't get there if we don't let people take the masks off, people speak into our blind spots where we can become. So how do we be at True North? Let's apply this real quick. How do we be? Number one. The first way we be is we get in a group. We all need to be known. We don't push life groups because we're like, oh, well, we just want to have some way on our website to have people in groups here and we can pat ourselves on the back. No, we have life groups because we want people to be known. And friends, you need to be known. Every one of us needs people to be known. We have to get beyond the arena, get close enough where we can begin to demask and tell some people some of our masks, have people speak to some blind spots so we can reach the potential God's called us to reach. But you can't do that if you're not known. It's not the call to know, but to be. But we won't be if we're not known. You need to have people in your life. We all need to be known. And number two, get on a team. We all need to be needed. Every one of us needs to be needed. I've had people ask me, Mark, what's the secret to True North Church? I'm thinking, incredible people who serve. Incredible people who give. Incredible people. Every one of us, though, needs to be known and need to be needed. God made us that way. Known and needed. That's why, and here's the challenge. We live in a culture right now that's never been more isolated. Do you think the 6 suicides that happened at Wainwright happened because those people are known or felt needed? No. The masks. There's been never been more people on anti-anxiety medication in America, United States of America. There's more today than ever. There's more people on anti-depression medicine more than ever. Why? And God made it to where, you know, there's this wave right now where they're actually realizing, counselors are setting up group therapy sessions where people go bowling together to laugh. And people are getting help because they are in relationships and they learn how to laugh with each other and they haven't even counseled anything yet. But people realize, oh my goodness, I need other people. God made us that way. Part of our challenge is people need to be known and need to be needed. If you're here, don't suffer in the arena of life and don't suffer in silence. Get connected to other people. And if you do that, I believe that we will become all that God's called us to become. We can be us and we can be we. Us as in I'm known and we as I'm needed. And I think as we do that, guess what? Then like a good neighbor, we can be there for people. And as we be my witnesses. It's not the call to know all the stuff. You don't have to know all the answers. Just become a healthy man, woman, young adult, single, married person. And as you be, I'm telling you right now, the things of life will just happen. I want to pray over you. There might be some of you in here today going, man, I don't know anyone. My relationships have been shallow for a long time. And I'd say, get connected. We have care groups. We have life groups. We have teams you can serve on. Find someone to have coffee with. Begin to take the masks off. Begin to develop relationships. You'll realize that other people are struggling with life too. We're all in this together to make a difference. Let me pray with you. Lord, I thank you for the men and women here today. God, the teenagers, young adults. God, the seniors, the married couples. God, those struggling with life. Maybe there's been a transition in a marriage or transition through death. I don't know. But God, I pray, help us become all you've called us to become. Whether people are online or in the auditorium today. It's not the call to know, but to be. Help us be known. Help us know that we're needed. So we can be us and we can be we. We can make a difference in Jesus' name. Our ushers are going to come. If you're here and maybe during communion you prayed with us, you prayed and said, Lord, I want to admit I've sinned and believe that he died for me and confess my sins and confess him as the Lord of my life. We'd like to hear your story. We'd like to know a little bit about you. And the only way for us to do that is if you could just give us your name and phone number. And we have a team that'll call you and say, hey, we want to hear your story. If you prayed that prayer, don't try to serve Jesus now alone. We want to help you. And so if you just be so kind of give us your name, email, phone number, check the box. I made a decision to follow Jesus today, or I recommitted my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here, you want to be water baptized or go through Grow Track one day. You want to be needed. There's lots of places to be needed. True North Church. There's a couple hundred people make True North happen every Sunday as they serve, or every Wednesday night. And so Grow Track One Day is that path to serving, or you're interested in worship or mops. And then just tear this off and drop it in a bucket when it goes by. This last week, one of our staff members' wives from Kaktovik, and her uncle passed away. And so they called and said, could someone from True North come? And I didn't go because sometimes in villages this time of year, there can be weather storms. In fact, there's a blizzard up in Kaktovik right now. So I didn't go because they felt like my executive pastor's in England. It's kind of, I can't all be on the same time, but Pastor Matt just went. I want to show you. They flew up to Kaktovik and they dig holes in the ice and they bury people in the wintertime up there. And so Pastor Matt's doing the funeral. True North, about half the community came out. About 200 people came out to the funeral. And they did a service, had a chance to share the gospel and minister to them. And right now, Kaktovik doesn't have a pastor of any faith background. Would you pray with us? They are so hungry for someone to be a spiritual leader there. In fact, on Thursday right here, we had Bill Pegrin, has a ministry called Care the Cure, was up here, and he filmed Dobie Weasel, who preached for a couple months, about a month and a half ago for us for our Encounter Conference. He's a native man. So last year we did Easter in a Box and sent DVDs to villages. And to make a long story short, Dobie Weasel has preached our Easter message for Easter for villages. Bill Pegrin does Carry the Cure, does the Iditarod Trail and suicide prevention. And all these schools came and did with his drums. He welcomed the natives in our state and with Tlingit and Haida and Yupik and Athabasca. In every language, he welcomed people. Yesterday, a worship team on a native reservation in Montana, Indian reservation, filmed the worship. So we're going to have a whole Easter package to send out to villages. And we had a young man named Brandon share his testimony. And he put on Facebook, incredible young man, got radically transformed by Jesus, says, hey, I'm helping True North with their Easter outreach to send the gospel message of hope into villages. Let me know if you want one. He had over 100 requests online from scores of villages. Please send one to my village. Please send one to my village. We want to make a difference. So would you pray with us as we do that? We're a church for our city. We're also a church for our state. And so we've got what I think is an exciting, we'll introduce, maybe show you little clips of it. We're putting together an Easter DVD and a website where we're able to stream Easter into villages that don't have a church. There's many villages that won't have an Easter service on Easter Sunday. And we have one completely with native voices and native folks that are put together. And we're super excited about that. So today as you give, I want to just thank you for your generosity. You helped us get Pastor Matt to Kaktovik. You help us with the Easter projects we're doing. You help us reach our city. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And I pray you'd bless the gift and the giver today. Help us to be wise stewards of the resources of this incredible group of people called True North. Bless the gift and the giver and help us make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.